Hello again, 欢迎你又回到酒馆。酒馆又要在喜马拉雅做直播了。5月8日星期五晚上8点准时开始，除了我和安兰，还有酒馆其他嘉宾主播做客。喜欢酒馆的你千万别忘了预约直播，我们5月8日晚8点不见不散。 Now, on with the show. Hello again and welcome back to Across the Pond with James and Anlan. 欢迎你又回到英美大不同。 Welcome back, Anlan. Welcome back, James.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Now let's move on to the next question. Again, about entertainment, enjoying yourself. There is a festival on while you are out one evening. You are encouraged to dance and join in with the carnival atmosphere. 就是当地人在这种热情起舞的时候让你参加嘉年华呀，这种狂欢的感觉。They've tried to drag you to dance. Being British, being American, what would you do? Let's start with James.
We joined them. It was like, this is fun. This will be great pictures. I can put it on social media. Yay.
It sounds great fun. What about, so you would go with the flow. What about Anlan? What about British people?
Probably about half of what James said. We would take photos and post them on social media, but we wouldn't actually do anything ourselves. We would probably just sit there or pretend we don't understand when someone's encouraging us to dance.But we can, like, pretend on social media that we did take part, when in reality all we did was we sat at the side and drank a beer or had a glass of wine.
Yeah, this is something I've noticed about British people is that you do have the extremes. You get people who are really letting loose, you get people who get super drunk and then partying all the time, but then you also get a large group of people that are being very self-conscious.
I think the key word you already mentioned there was drunk.
Good.
Alcohol is the solution to all of our problems.
Yeah,
exactly.
You need probably a little bit of liquor courage to dance in public.
I need a lot more than that, to be honest, to dance in public.
Good, good. Moving on to the next. So, this is towards the end of your holiday, and you want to take home a souvenir.And it's customary to haggle at the market. 在当地是可以讨价还价的。But when your first request for 50% discount is refused, what would you do? So, for example, the thing is 100. And then you said 50. And they say no. You know it's okay to haggle, but what would you do? Let's start with Alan.
I personally absolutely hate haggling. I'm really, really not good at haggling.I lived in China for an extended period of time now, and I'm still not very comfortable. And I think that's also something about being British as well. In that sort of situation, I probably just go, oh, okay, and then just pay the 100.
But what if they give you an astronomical price? Because in some places, in some cultures where they expect you to haggle, they will intentionally raise the price because they have to calculate, they have to factor in the possibility of being haggled.
In the UK, I think because we really don't like haggling, we always associate it with being cheated, with being tricked. In some countries, you're right. In some countries, because it's expected, they actually factor that in. But in the UK, if someone gives you an astronomical price, and you know it's astronomical, then you probably just wouldn't do business with them.
But sometimes, you know, in China, there's sometimes those markets, for example, they say 300.But it's actually only 100.
Yeah.
They say 300 and you walk away. They say, what about 200? What would you do? Would you turn back?
If I really, really like it, then I might turn back. I would do that now. I always remember when my parents came to Beijing for the first time, I took them to a market, a big souvenir market in the south of Beijing. And they really, really liked something. And I was haggling or trying to haggle at least.And the shop owner was very friendly. She actually asked me how I would say certain things in English. So I kind of wrote the sentences down, but she still gave me an astronomical price. So I just said to her, I've just given you a free English lesson. And I told her how much I normally charge for private one-to-one tuition. And she went, oh, okay. And she took that amount of money off the price.
Oh, wow. Good.That's certainly one way to haggle. What about, James, what about Americans? Are Americans more comfortable at haggling?
No, not at all. It's actually quite similar to what Anlan said. They might give up and just pay that 100, like you mentioned. Some would walk away.
That's easy.
But I have a similar story when my family is visited. So when, like, when my family is here and, like, they want to buy something, we have to tell them, like, if you want to buy something, tell us. And then my wife will haggle for you.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, I've got the experience of taking people to these markets where you can haggle. And then I said, let me do it. But then again, they refused. My friends, they refused to move away when I tried to walk away. And they said, I really want it. And you know, all these shop owners, they do understand English. And they can see the yearning in your eyes that you really want it. And then they're not going to lower the price.
Yeah, you just killed your negotiating tactic.
Exactly. All right. So, moving on, but still on the topic of shopping, you have an hour to kill and money to burn in duty-free. This is the last leg of your trip. You are compelled to make a purchase or two. At duty-free in the airport, what would you generally purchase, or what would British or American tourists generally purchase, starting with James?
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Hands down, alcohol.
Why is that?
Like, so in duty-free, you have all the things like chocolate and cosmetics and all these things. Mm-hmm. These things are already cheap in America, so there's zero reason to buy them in duty-free.
Ah, I see. I always buy cosmetics and skincare because they're usually cheaper in the duty-free.
Yeah, but in America, we don't have a VAT, so they're just cheaper in a regular department store in the U.S. Alcohol, on the other hand. But alcohol, so especially ones that are not, like, domestic, so things like scotch, whiskey, are much cheaper and duty-free than they would be in a local liquor store. So it's alcohol is what they buy.
Maybe even as presents.
And then tobacco.
Tobacco as well.
Yeah, that'd be number two.
What about British tourists?
I think alcohol as well, to be honest. Even though in the UK, duty-free used to be much cheaper for alcohol, it's less so now. But people still have that sort of tradition. They still have that feeling. It's like, okay, I'm going through duty-free. I'm going to buy a bottle of spirits, because spirits generally are much more expensive in the UK. I have to admit, I'm a little bit lazy. Generally, when I'm in duty-free, I would buy gifts for people that I completely forgot to buy for when I was actually on holiday.
Toblerone for you, Toblerone for you, Toblerone for you.
Pretty much.
So if you get a gift of Toblerone, you know that you're the forgotten friend.
Yeah.
They only thought of you the last minute.
Well, my mum actually collects magnets. So every time I go to a new country, I have to buy a magnet.
Oh, like kitchen magnet.
Kitchen magnet. Uh-huh. Magnet you put on the fridge.
冰箱贴.
And she collects them. And every time I go to a new country, I have to bring one back. And generally, I buy at the airport because...
just easier.
It's just so much easier.
My mom has a similar thing. It's for coffee cups, though.
Coffee cups. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, which you can also purchase at duty-free.
Yeah.
All right. So, end of your journey. This is the next question. During the final day of your holiday abroad, you start to think of things you are looking forward to when you get home. You know, most people, after a few weeks of traveling, they get homesick. They want to go back. But when you're thinking about home, what is the first thing that comes to mind? First, let's start with British.
I think British people would really miss a cup of tea, to be honest.
Isn't that something you can get everywhere?
Well, not a cup of tea as British people would like. I always remember my grandmother. My grandmother never travelled outside of the UK. And one of the fears was that if she did, she wouldn't be able to find a good cup of tea. For our whole life, she only went literally to the coast of France, which was to an island that's still part of the UK.
And I bet she still complained about not having a decent cup of tea there.
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah, I think being, for me, it's hard to say, because I've lived outside of the UK for so many years that when I actually do go back to the UK, it's actually a holiday.
Well, for you, it's very different. But I guess probably for average British people, it's a decent cup of tea, like how they do it at home. What about for Americans?
Americans?
Yep.
Well, I don't think it would be a cup of tea. It'd most likely be, I can sleep in my own bed again.
That's universal. I can sleep in my own bed. That's always what I miss.
But it'd also be probably more realistic. The things that come to mind are probably the chores they realize they'll have to do again. Like, oh, we have to do all the laundry. Or it's like, oh, I need to cut the grass. Oh.
That's not something you look forward to, though. It's just something you have to do.
But they are the first things that come to your mind.
True. All right, last question. Upon returning from your holiday, you are already back home in the States, in the UK. You're starving and decide to cook your first meal since getting home. What is that first meal? Starting with James.
Cook? You pick up the phone, you order pizza, and you see if you have cold beer in the fridge.
So go home to pizza. What about Anlan? Do you guys also go for pizza?
Well, I think we'll definitely go for a takeaway. Mm. What I would normally do is when I'm coming back from holiday is on the way from the airport, I'll pop into a fish and chip shop and just pick up some fish and chips and have that at home.
Mm. I always have great respect for people who decide to cook their first meal when they get back from their holiday. I would definitely order a takeaway.
Yeah, I don't think there's any real point in trying to cook your own meal.
Yeah, after the long travel.
You've been gone for weeks, so there's going to be nothing in your fridge.
Well, you can always buy grocery. I've met people like that. Mm. They decide to cook their first meal. I guess it's because they're missing their home-cooked meal for like a few weeks or so.
Well, what about you when you come?
I definitely ordered a takeaway, most likely to be char, to be Xinjiang food. I think that seems
nice
to be...
Nice kebabs, huh?
Yeah, nice kebabs. Exactly. All right, on that note, I think we're going to wrap up. And there are actually a lot more questions in this category that we probably will talk about in the future. But thank you again for coming to the show. Thank you, Anlan. Thank you, James.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
满眼绿意的初夏正是提升自己的好时节。我和安兰的第八期进阶口语课程，还有酒馆的话题拓展包轻课和雅思考官模考训练营都正在火热招生中。五一黄金周期间，酒馆还将推出回馈粉丝大放送活动，买酒就送课程优惠券，买课程送酒券，专门为爱学习爱生活的你准备。赶快联系小助手获取优惠和免费试听课吧。小助手的微信号是LULUXJG3 LULU 就是露露， XJG 是小酒馆的汉语拼音首字母最后一个数字3 LULUXJG3 我们在酒馆等你。